Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6. We're going to begin reading down in verse 47. If you open your Bible there and just try to help you tonight, encourage you, a little bit of how-to maybe, and make sure you do type message, all right? And so we invite your attention there, open your Bible, and look down to verse 47, Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Listen, would you just do me a favor tonight? Would you just listen on purpose?
Amen.
Just listen on purpose. Don't worry about anything else going on. Don't worry about any distractions, okay? Don't worry about what may happen. I know it could be disastrous tomorrow like it was this last week where you woke up and your cell phone didn't work. And I know it caused a lot of stress and anguish in people's hearts and minds, you know. I was listening to people talk about it, and I thought, oh, my word, you know. That's just, and not people that have any need, all right, but we've become addicted. Man, just become addicted. Now, the interesting thing to me was mine worked great. You know, I woke up that morning and I was listening to the radio and they were talking about all this problem. So I reached over, took my phone and called my wife and hers rang. I said, well, we're in good, all right, you know. But I don't want to talk to her every minute of the day, all right. And so not that I wouldn't do it, but I don't feel like I just have to, all right. So, but anyhow, it was amazing listening to that, so. If we get in that stressful situation this week, maybe what we do tonight will help you a little bit, all right? Notice verse 47. The Bible says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on a tale of two contractors, all right? A tale of two contractors. Our Lord, when he was on this earth, taught by using stories that give examples of truth. And that's what he did here. I mean, he sought to teach a great truth, and he did it by telling about these two contractors that had decided they were going to build them a house. Now, don't you notice the first one is a guy called the practical builder, all right? The practical builder. Here he was. He is building a house for his family, a home, if you will, a place he was wanting to build. He wanted it to be safe. He wanted it to be sure. He wanted it to be stable. And so the Bible tells us that he made some great effort. He put extra effort, maybe even extra money, into the foundation of that home. Now, the second builder had a different priority. I look at this fellow as being a guy that was more concerned with the aesthetics of the situation. He wanted a place that looked good. I mean, none of that rock for him. He wanted that good, you know, loam, sandy loam. He could grow himself a real good yard and all of it there. And that was what he was. And because of that, he decided to impress folks that would see it, but he didn't worry about putting down that foundation. Now, obviously, the Bible tells us what happens, all right? The Bible tells us the first fellow built that house, built that foundation, and man, that house stood the test of time. We live here in Texas, in this area of Texas, and there are a lot of builders that built homes who are concerned with one thing, selling it. And so they put it together, they put it there, and they didn't want to spend a great deal of money. And so they just basically laid down a little pad of sand, put some concrete on top of that, built the house on top of it, and now we constantly drive through neighbors and we see people digging up around those houses, and they're putting in the foundation they should have put in when they built the building, all right? And there they are doing that work, all right? And so we've got that to go on. So let's just talk about it tonight. First of all, I want you to see this matter of the foundation. The foundation. To be honest with you, the most important part of any structure is a foundation. If you ever happen to be involved and you're in a city where they're going to build a big skyscraper, the first thing to do is dig a deep hole. And they begin there to put the foundation for that building that they're about to build, all right? What you build upon and how you do it is just super important. And can I say this to you? I'm not so concerned about you building a shed in your backyard. I'm talking to you about building your life. Your life, that thing that's important, all right? So you hear me. It's super important that we do it right. But the problem is, it's mostly hidden. That foundation is not something that's exposed. It's pretty much hidden. It's not out there for everybody to see. You wouldn't know it was there, if you will, except for the fact, as we observe how well the building lasts. How well it lasts. And folks, I'll tell you, that's true with lives. That is true with our life. We live in a time where it is so important that you and I make sure of the foundation that we're building our life upon. Needs to be there. We need to be careful. Now, obviously, the Bible, take your Bible, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's no doubt about what we're talking about as the foundation. Man, we talk about the foundation for a Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible tells us real plain, it's unequivocal, it's not hard to grasp. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what in the world, though, does it mean to put the foundation of your life on Jesus Christ? Now, and probably if we were to ask that, and we were to ask for answers, people say, well, you need to be born again. That's critical. That's critical. But can I say this to you? That doesn't complete your foundation. Just trust in the Lord as your Savior. You cannot then say, got it taken care of, life will be wonderful, I've laid the foundation. No, man, you've just started laying the foundation. All right? Just started putting that foundation in. When we talk about your life, we want something that's going to last. Going to last. Going to be able to take the stress, you know, and it will continue on. So we talk about putting that foundation in. It goes beyond just getting saved. It goes to this point of having that relationship with Him. Doing those things like we talked about. Man, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray. Learn what it is to spend some time in prayer. Now, you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours in prayer. But it's good to spend some time in prayer. Develop that habit in life to talk to the Lord. Why? Because you're developing that relationship. You don't have a relationship with somebody you do not talk to. You don't have it. I've listened and heard people talk about living in the same house with somebody but not speaking to them. I go, for crying out loud, how do you do that? You know, I'm going to just whoop the silent treatment on you. Well, that'll help your relationship. Oh, yeah, that'll build it. Hey, so we read our Bible. We pray. We go to church. You say, preacher, you just hound that. Yeah, because it's so important. So important. I look at people's lives, and I begin to see them. Hey, I want to tell you this, all right? We've got folks that come to church only on Sunday morning. As far as I know, there is no church in the world that does not have people that only come on that Sunday morning. There's some churches do it because that's the only service they have. But I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist churches that out there and have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or Thursday night, whatever. But every one of those churches is going to have somebody, going to have some people, they only come Sunday morning. They never show up on Sunday night. They never come on Wednesday night. I just want to tell you something. Their foundation in their life is not as good as yours is. Just not as good. Why? Because they don't put the effort into building that foundation. They don't put the effort in building that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To check it out and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to him for advice. If I was going to build a building, I would want to talk to people that knew something about building a building. I'd want to get that suggestion. I'd want to listen to them, and I'd want to talk to them about it, all right? Hey, that foundation in your life, it needs to be grounded firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do what he says to do. We're going to build it his way. Have the foundation set. But after you get the foundation set, what are you going to put on top of it? What are you putting on top of that foundation? There was a home for years out in Newark, right next to where Brother and Mrs. Brackeen lived. They started building, and they quit. And they had the foundation in, and they even started framing up the walls, but they quit. And it was there for a long time, just like that. Nothing else there, all right? Now, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what the story was. But the question is, after you get the foundation laid, what materials are you going to use to put atop that foundation? Amen. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go out here and buy some green lumber. Might not be a good idea. Just might not be a good idea. I'm told over in Russia that they have a lot of problems with a lot of the buildings they've built because they built that way, and that lumber they built with was green, hadn't cured at all, and then when it cured, it twisted, and man, it messed up their building something fierce, all right? Just messed things up. You build here, you can put wooden studs on it, you can build with aluminum, you can build, you know, a brick veneer, you can build with block, you can build with stones, you can build with steel, you can put up the drywall. There's all kinds of things available to put on top of that foundation. But the question is, in our life, what are we going to put on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Amen. Now, you go back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, all right? Back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible kind of gives us an indication there's a lot of different things you can put on the foundation. A lot of things can be put there, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, drop down, if you will, and let's look in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So there's a lot of things you can build with. A lot of things you can build with. I'm reminded of the story of the three little pigs. All right? Story of the three little pigs. They all built them a house. All three of the pigs built them a house, but they built with different things. And then obviously in that nursery rhyme story, the wolf came, and two of them didn't fare so well because of what they put and built their house out of. They didn't succeed very well. Well, in our lives, we've got the foundation laid, but it's important what we come back and put on top of that foundation. Now, you say, well, preacher, what do you mean wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones? Well, hey, what are you going to put in, what are you going to build on that foundation to build your life? Is it going to be built on selfishness? Hey, just, it's me. It's all about me. I'm concerned about me. That's the main one. Not really concerned about anybody else. It's a selfish life that I'm talking about. I don't know. Covetous, maybe. There's a lot of people very covetous in the world. And what they're building in their life is they're trying to grab everything they can. See, somebody else has something. I want what they've got. They've got a very covetous life. A very miserable life oftentimes, all right? Selfish life. On the other hand, you can put kindness on there. You can build your life with kindness. You can build your life with love. You can learn to love people. And build your life that way. If you want to, you can be envious of folks all your life. I just envy everybody else. You know, we have people in this world today that live what we refer to as entitled life. They think they're entitled to everything. Everything. I think our president did a terrible thing by forgiving all those big chunk of student loans. They get a terrible thing. Yeah. Terrible thing. You say, why that? Because it teaches people, hey, you don't have to pay your debts. Don't have to pay your debts. I'm sure some of you sitting here, you went to college and you paid your way. You paid your way. You paid it as you went. When I went to college, and I lived at home. I didn't go live on campus. I was talking to a fella that I know, and I went into his office. He wasn't there, and they were telling me, well, he's taking his daughter to college. Said he's taking her over to UTA, and she wants to live on campus, live in the dorm. She wants to have the whole experience. And I said, well, man, that wouldn't be any problem. I said, I'd be happy for you to do that. After all, you're paying for it, so know what? Go ahead. But see, that wasn't the deal. The daughter was counting on dad forking it over. I think, man, hey, it's a good thing to pay your way. Good thing to pay your way. I'm getting a lot of amens here, all right? That's all right. I'm going to keep going, all right? Because I believe what I'm saying, all right? I believe it's good for you. You go, you pay your way, you don't sit. Man, I went to college. I didn't spend a lot of time in the student union building. And, I went to North Texas. They had this massive student union building. They had all kinds of stuff in there. And there's gyms out at Tarrant County. They had these big gyms and all this stuff. And you could play on and work on and do all that stuff. But I had this problem. I had to pay my bills. So I went to college. And after class was over, I left to go to work. Why? Because I had to pay the bill. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing, all right, to work at it, to pay it. But we got a lot of people, they have that feeling of entitlement, and those folks won't build on the foundation. They think it needs to come from somebody else. It needs to be given to me. Hey, wrong mindset. If you're building your life, you need to realize, hey, it's what I'm going to do and what I'm going to put on this foundation. If it's going to be love, it's going to be kindness. I'm going to be a little bit concerned about others. I'm going to serve them. And as I serve my Lord and serve others for His sake, hey, that's the lot of life I want to build in my foundation. Hey, build something that'll last. Build something. By the way, build something's worth building. I've got here in my notes how foolish it is to lay down $1 million foundation and put a shack on top of it. Bill, I mean, hey, go down deep, pour the piers and everything. You got the concrete, you got the steel in there, everything's there. Then put up a shack. How stupid that would be. How foolish. But yet I see Christian people that I believe trusted Christ as their Savior, but they don't turn around and build anything on that foundation. They just sort of gloss along through life, whatever comes. Hey, there ought to be some things in there that I'm going to put some things on that foundation that's going to build a building and a life that'll be enjoyable and a life that I can be proud that I lived and not have to be ashamed of it, but I can be happy and satisfied. Why? Because I've done what I should have done, built on that foundation, all right? Hey, you and I, we need to learn how to do that, how to frame that theme up. You said, why is it so important? Because the flood's going to come. The flood's going to come. No, notice what the Bible says here in our text. The flood arose. In verse 48, the flood arose. In verse 49, the Bible said the stream did beat vehemently. Hey, the flood's going to come. Man, you put up a building and you've got... down in Florida, they had the building codes was such that it had to withstand a hurricane. It was interesting to go, when we lived there, it was interesting to go out to the beach. And in Fort Myers, the beach was on an island. And there were mobile homes out there on that island. Now, you think, well, that was not the wise thing. But they tied those mobile homes down. Now, I don't mean with hemp, okay? They buried some concrete and put a hook on that, and they had run steel cables over the top of those mobile homes, so when the wind came, that house didn't go anywhere. It stood the test. You said, man, I've seen pictures of blown everywhere. That's because they didn't make them do that.
Right.
I remember when we were down there, we used to see mobile homes that way tied to the ground. Hey, they have to withstand. Here we worry about tornadoes, you know. Some places they worry about tidal waves and blizzards and hail and lightning and the monsoon or whatever. But some flood's going to come. Now, some flood's going to come in your life. You're going to have some opposition. You're going to have some opposition. No matter how you live, there's going to be somebody that's going to come and oppose you. There's going to be somebody that's going to attack you. Now, not necessarily physically, all right? I don't mean a physical attack, but you're going to have somebody that's going to bring opposition. You're going to have disappointments in life. Disappointments are going to come your way. I don't care how you live, how good you try to live, and how faithful, by the way, how faithful you live this book, you're still going to face some disappointments. You're going to face some tragedy, maybe. Maybe tragedy shows up. Maybe financial reverses. You know, in spite of what guy down at the Wisdom Center taught, God doesn't promise us we'll be wealthy and healthy. And if you catch a guy on the radio and he's prayed over that wallet and anointed it, if you send him an offering and he sends it to you, don't expect it to fill up on its own. It's not going to happen, okay? It's not going to take place. I'm telling you, there's trouble on the horizon. There will be some storms. So the question is, you've built your life, how will you weather the storm? How are you going to get through that storm? Now, I believe this. I believe you won't unless you've planned ahead. That we need some planning. Can I just say this to you as a Christian? Expect some problems. Don't live your life as if we'll never have a problem. No, you ought to live it expecting it. Can I say this to you? You may think, preacher, you're the most morbid guy I've ever met. Okay, fine. But I'll be honest with you, when my kids were small, I began to try to prepare myself that something would happen to one of them. I tried to prepare myself as much as I could for something to happen to my wife. Because I did not feel like, hey, I am a charmed person. Because I'm a preacher, nothing bad will ever happen to me. No, sir. I tried to prepare myself for that. And I acknowledge, I knew that would happen. I tried to prepare myself for the death of my mom and my dad. I did not figure they will live forever. And I prepared, tried to get ready for that. Why? Planning ahead, all right? Planning ahead. Hey, the foundation needs to be right. It sure does. What's built on top of that needs to be tight. It needs to be well built. It needs to be well constructed. That's true in your life, too. Hey, if we have a home, we do maintenance on the home. I got a call on Friday, and it was a call from Spectrum, and this lady said, we want to do some maintenance on our lines at the church. So I set that up for yesterday, and yesterday a fella came by from Spectrum, and I got talking to him. And I said, what's the deal? And he said, well, we're just doing really preventative maintenance. He said, we've noticed there's been some glitches, you know, and rather than you having to call us, we want to come and take care of it before you have to call. Now, I'll be honest. I said, wow, what a strange idea. But I thought, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. We have vehicles. I say something to you, they last better if you change oil every now and then. You take care of them, there's a little maintenance you can do, and you do that maintenance on them, they'll last better, they'll last longer. I'm not going to name any names, but I know a fella had a truck and he'd never change the oil in it. And, you know, I'm surprised it ran as long as it did, okay? Not going to go any further. Hey, you say, okay, preacher, that's fine. All right, well, here we're talking about your life. There needs to be maintenance kept up. There needs to be maintenance kept up. You need to maintain your Christian life. Maintain your faith. Maintain your faith. Work on it. Don't think, well, I got saved and I asked the Lord to help me, I'm in good shape. No. You need to feed that faith. We need to work at it. We need to exercise it. We need to exercise that faith. We need to live our life, all right, live our life so that it will have a good relationship with our Lord. Maintain it, all right, the relationship with the object of our faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maintain that. Don't let the ties get weak. Don't let that happen. Be honest with you, I think some people wind up divorced because they don't maintain the tie between husband and wife. They got married and they think, man, I don't have to work at it anymore. Well, you better. You better keep working at it. You have children. Maintain the relationship. Maintain the relationship. Build the relationship. Work at it. Work at it. Don't let them know, hey, I care about you. I tried my kids always know, hey, you can talk to me about anything. Anything. And I never told them that I remember. But, man, we tried to maintain that kind of relationship. It was an open thing. They didn't go into their rooms and shut the door. They didn't live behind closed doors. And I know a lot of people do that. I've heard people talking about it. I've heard one guy on the radio talking about it. He said, I finally got aggravated at my daughter and I took the door off. Well, can I say this? You know, if you'd maintained the relationship the way you should, maybe it wouldn't have got to that point. I cannot conceive of that, all right? I cannot. You know, my kids didn't go into their room, shut the door, they didn't live in their room, all right? You don't want to do that. You want to maintain that relationship. We need to maintain that relationship with the Lord. We got saved. We started to build our Christian life. Don't get it to a point and say, I'm done building. Still got to maintain it. Still got to maintain it. Why? Storm's going to come. Storm's going to come. Over and over, I've run into people that say to me, I used to go to church. Well, what happened? Well, God let this happen. And it's God's fault. I had never forget one teenage girl. She quit riding the bus, quit coming, went to see her. She said, well, my grandpa died, and God let my grandpa die. I said, was grandpa a Christian? Oh, yeah, he was a good Christian. So you're mad he's in heaven? Hey, look, it's why we don't have the relationship. We don't maintain our faith. We don't maintain our life. And when the storm comes, we get overwhelmed. People get knocked down, and then they can't get back up. Why? Because they didn't maintain what they should have done. Your Christian life needs maintenance, all right? It needs maintenance. Yeah, that's one thing we do in church. We encourage you. I'm not here tonight to chew you out. I'm here to encourage you. Do some things. Build your life. Take care of these things. Don't allow yourself to get complacent in life. The storm comes and it overwhelms you. It overwhelms you. You know, I wonder how long, if the Lord had remained on the earth more than 3 years, I wonder how many years he would have been on the Sea of Galilee and the storm come up and how many times they'd have said, wake up, save us! Now, you just wonder, what would have taken? How would that have happened? Hey, it should be a situation where we maintain that relationship. We don't have to get panicky all the time. Don't have to live that way. So here, you want a foundation to be right. You want to frame that thing right. The flood's going to come. Now, I just want to talk to you, if I could, about the fashioning of that house, all right, your life. Now, fashion in the sense of molding something, not what you wear, you know, fashion and if you're fashionable or not. But how do we do it? How do we fashion such a building? I mean, what steps do we take? I want you to go back and look again there in Luke chapter 6 and look, first of all, in verse 47. Notice the first thing he says, whosoever, what's the next word? Whosoever cometh to me. Whosoever cometh to me. First thing you got to do is come to him. Come to him. We ought to make that a habit where we come to him. Come to him. Well, I came when I got saved. You got to be kidding. You quit coming? You quit coming? No, you got to keep coming. You got to keep coming. That's one of the things, you keep coming to the Lord. Why? Because you need help. You're going to need help all your life. You're going to need some guidance. You need direction. And so you just keep coming to him. You keep calling upon him. You keep showing up where help is being offered, all right? A lot of people don't get any help because they don't come where it's being offered. They will not do it. Hey, you come to him. You come there and notice what it says. Heareth, you see that next phrase? Heareth, all right, my sayings. Heareth my sayings. You need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. Listen. I've sat and talked. There's nothing that aggravates me in school like a student coming and saying, I need some help with this. And I say, okay. And maybe I get out my pencil. Maybe we're working, you know, some algebra problem and just having a good time because algebra is a lot of fun. And so we've got the paper there and I say, all right, well, look, right here, you're doing this, and then you do this, and then I look up. I look up, and that student. Usually I throw my pencil down, and I said, hey, what are we here for? You wanted help. I'm trying to help you. What are you looking for? Is it showing up on the wall somewhere, and I didn't know it? But that's the way a lot of times people come to the Lord. They come, say, I'm seeking help, but they don't listen. They don't listen. I don't know what Brother Oftedal's experience was when he pastored, but I've talked to people before, and I realize I'm talking, they're not listening. They come seeking help, would you help me, I need this. I tried to talk to them, and I realized they're not listening. They're not listening to what I'm saying. I've changed my approach. Sometimes now people come, they sit down, okay, I want to ask you one question before we start. Okay, what? I said, if I suggest what you do, will you do what I say? Because if you're not, let's not waste our time. Let's not waste your time or my time. You just go on and keep doing whatever you're going to do. Hey, we come to the Lord, then listen to him. Listen to him. When you come to church, and you hear the subject of the message announced, you go, I've heard that. I've heard that before. Oh, man, they're preaching on that. I've heard that preached on 400 times. Well, try listening. You may actually get something. The 401st time might give you something you never got on the other 400. Yeah, and not because of the speaker, but because of the Holy Spirit. You know, here we come. We show up. We come to him. We listen. You pray. You open your Bible. Read. Listen to what's there. Listen to what's there. Once again, give you the illustration for kids in school. They'll come up and say, I can't find this answer. Actually, what they say is, I can't find this question. And I say, well, it's right there. No, I mean the answer. I say, well, why don't you say that? Because the question's right there. And so they'll be looking. I said, well, where have you read? What have you looked for? And over here. I said, okay, right there. Start reading out loud. Yes, sir. And they'll read out loud. Some of them read the answer. And I say, go back and read it again. They'll read it again. I say, read it one more time. And this time, listen while you're reading, okay? And then, oh. Why? Don't listen. Don't listen. We don't get much help. We don't listen. If we don't listen to what God has to say to us, come to him, listen to him, and then obey him. You see what it says there in verse 47 again? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Amen. Doeth them. You know, there are times when I preach that I feel like this is too simple. This is just too simple. But, man, I get and watch and I think about people and I think, well, maybe it needs to be simple, all right? Because people, they'll come, they'll listen, but then they won't obey. They won't do it. Won't do it. I won't do what God says. There's people that'll come forward, sometimes an invitation. You can deal with them out of the Word of God. They've come forward. They listen, but they go back and you explain, here it is. Look what God's Word says. This is what you need to do. They'll go back and won't do it. Won't do it. Not too long, down the aisle again, same problem. Same problem. Why? Well, you didn't do what you needed to do. You didn't take the steps you needed to take. Hey, folks, we're talking about your life. I love John chapter 10 and verse 10. I want you to go there, all right? I'll be honest with you, I'll refer to this verse a lot of times because of what it says. I love the message. I love the truth, all right? The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life. Now, that's not where it ends. That's not the end of that verse. It says, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You're looking at a preacher that believes God intends for you and I to really have an abundant life. An abundant life. Not a miserable life. Not just an existence. Well, I finally slid it into heaven, all right? But boy, I was miserable the whole time on earth. I'm not. I think there ought to be some enjoyment in life. Enjoyment. I tell people all the time, if you got a job and you're miserable, find another one. Life's too short. Spend a whole lifetime doing something you don't like to do. So I'm resigning. No, I was kidding. This is what I enjoy above everything else. Being able to be a pastor. Do it. I mean, life is marvelous when it's done God's way. If we'll put it together, we'll put that foundation, we'll build on that foundation, and then we'll work to maintain the foundation and work to maintain the building of our life. When you get in there and the storm comes, the problem comes, you can weather the storm. It doesn't make the storm pleasant, but it makes it endurable. It makes it where you come out on the other side. You're still okay, all right? God intended for us to have it that way. But it means we've got to do what he says. We've got to do what he says. Last thing, stick with it. Stick with it. Stick it out. Folks get their life going. They build it. Things are going good. And then they bail. They bail. I don't understand that. I just, in all honesty, I don't understand people raising a good home and a good church, and for a while they live right and do right, and then they quit going to church. Right. Amen. I don't understand that. Absolutely, it blows my mind. You say, well, there's a problem. There is, but there's help. There's help. Remember, cometh to me. Amen. Him that cometh to me. You got to come for the help. Got to come to him. Yeah, you may get some staggering things that happen in your life. And it can happen. Great disappointments. But can I say this to you? There's nothing that can't be overcome. Nothing that God can't help you through. If we just decide, hey, I'm going to build my life, I'm going to have that foundation, I'm going to build on it, and I'm going to maintain what's built. Just going to keep it there. Every now and then, it might need a little bit of paint over there, all right? Just maintain what's there. Don't forget about it. Stick it out. Stick it out. Long as you live. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want to die if the Lord doesn't come back. Now, I really want to be taken in the rapture.
Amen.
And you say, why? You don't want to die? No, I'd just like to get there sooner. I'd like to go in the rapture. I hope he'll come. But if I die, I want to die having a good time living for the Lord. Living a Christian life. If things happen, I don't want to die a bitter individual. And I'm going to say this to you. You don't have to let that happen. There's some folks sitting in here tonight. You've endured some terrible storms. Tough things. But you got through it. You got through it. You're not bitter. Not bitter about it. It just, those things can occur, and you just keep on, all right? When that occurred, you found out, I just need to get closer to the Lord. I need to come to Him. I need to stick close to Him. I've built the building. I've put the foundation in. I've built it, but I just need to keep it. And so I go back to the one that I built it on. You don't have to let things destroy your life. You can die a happy Christian, satisfied, looking forward to meeting God. Looking forward to meeting God. Not dreading what's going to be. Don't have to do that. But it's in our power to do our part. So there's two contractors. Now which one are you going to be? Just which one are you going to be? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us just see the truth of the Word of God.